Radha to come at this time. She shared with me a praise report, and I said, you know, it'd be nice for you to share this praise report. So I'm just gonna let her do that this morning. And starting, you can start recording, by the way. I want to hear all this over again, so that's okay.
Go ahead. I'm nervous. My heart doesn't stop beating. Good morning. Kind of excited this morning for two things. First of all, I want to share with you all, I've been coming here for the past 2 years, and Pastor Green would always tell me, where's your husband? And I said, my husband is at home. He doesn't want to come with me. Okay, but I'm not going to push him. I know that the Lord has a plan. Well, almost a year ago on Mother's Day, next month, I got up like usual. Mother's Day, he comes and gives me a hug, and says, honey, I have a present for you. Oh my God, we've been married for 44 years, and I had never gotten a present from him. And I said, oh my God, what is this? Honey, I want to join you to church this morning. And I said, wow. And he says, do you want me to go with you? Of course I want you to go with me. I've been praying for this for the past 2 years. And finally, Lord, thank you. My husband's going to join me. So he's here, he's been coming, and he says, but I don't promise you anything. I don't promise you that I'll be going every week. And I said, well, Lord, you know what you're doing. So he's been here with me almost 11 months already. So praise the Lord. Yes. And also, I have 7 children, 18 grandchildren, and I have been blessed. Miracles in my life. Well, this past week, I had a real nice to my heart, nice miracle. My daughter had, they had told her she had breast cancer. And she went for her mammogram, and it didn't look good. And she's a nurse, and she talks to one of the ladies and says, be open with me, because as a nurse, I should have known better, but I want to know the truth. Ma'am, we can't tell you anything. We have to wait for you're going to go for a biopsy. So Monday she goes for the biopsy, and she calls me, Mom, you know, I have faith in the Lord that everything's going to be fine, but I'm still, if I have to go through the chemo and radiation and everything, I'll be angry at myself, because being a nurse, I should have known better. And I told him, huh, you know, your faith is what matters. So she goes into the office Wednesday morning, and Wednesday afternoon, she goes back to work on Wednesday, and she says, oh, no, hopefully everything goes fine. She texts me, and she says, Mom, you're still with me? Yes, Miha, we're still with you. So she, after the doctor, she gets to her car. She drives that an hour away where she was. So she says, Mom, and all excited, and what, Miha? Mom, I've got great news. The doctor couldn't even believe it, and I can't even believe it myself. What happened, Miha? Well, I am cancer-free. There is no sign of cancer. The doctor comes in and says, little girl, because she's little, she says, little girl, you must have somebody up there watching over you. And a lot of people praying for you. And yes, I have a lot of people praying for me that everything goes well. Well, it was 99%. We knew that it was 99% that there was something there. But, praise, you know, you can go and keep praying. Keep your people, keep praying, because you are cancer-free. So I got all excited and cried. She started crying. I started crying because I'm always crying. Thank God I'm not crying right now. But, you know, I am so happy to let you all know that she's going to be fine. And we're waiting for another test. She's having something womanly done the end of May. And we'll be praying for that, too, that everything turns out okay. So God is good. God is alive, and bless you all. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I believe in miracles. Amen. Amen. No, Lloyd was talking about that movie, Miracles from Heaven. And Sarah and I had our first father-daughter movie night, and we went to see that. And she cried. She said, two times. And she was asking me during the movie, why am I crying? And I'm like, because it's sad. So anyway, if you like those tear jerkers, and the fact that it's based on a true story, it's interesting, very interesting. I believe that is a recorded miracle that is recorded by all the doctors that no one can explain. And of course, except the people who know what happened. And God intervened in that life, in that family. So it's good to see God at work. You know, on Tuesday nights we pray. We really do pray. And we really believe that God listens to our prayers. God says to pray continually. So I encourage you, if you can't make it on Tuesday nights and we need to pray, do that. If you can't, I just feel free to text me. You don't have to call. Sometimes it's hard to call because I don't pick up very often. But text me and pray for this, pray for that, and we will always bring it up at the prayer meetings and pray and believe for miracles. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that testimony, the praise report. Oralia. Well, we've been studying knowing God, knowing God's character, and I want to conclude this series. Know God's character. I've done about 4 or 5 weeks of this series, and I want to conclude it today. And I just feel that when we get to know God, we're not surprised, even in storms. We're stable. And I believe what the church needs, what Christians need more than anything else, is to be stable, to no matter what, stay firm in your faith. And God will take you from victory to victory. It's truth. You don't stay in the valley forever, amen? But He will take you from one victory to another victory. And today we're concluding this series, and because in 2016, this is what our journey is. It's to keep Jesus close to us. He is the answer. He is the answer to our life, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our families. He's the answer. There's a quote in the movie when the little girl says, not everybody will believe it. The mother says, not everybody will believe that this is a miracle of God. And the little girl says, well, that's okay. They'll get there when they get there. I said, that was a pretty cool line. And so true for some of our family members that we're praying for. Amen? But they'll get there when they get there. And we've been journeying and believing in miracles, and God's a good God. And His character is to do this, and we've been going through this, and I'll put the list back up there. His character, number one, He's pursuing every single one of you. He's pursuing you to draw close to Him. And there's no doubt that's who He is. He leaves the 99 to find you, find the one, and that's who He is. Never doubt that. Never think for one moment that you must be the one He's not going to bother to pursue. That Jesus died for all, for whosoever, and that's you and me. So don't ever doubt. God's character is to pursue you. And some of you, you know He's pursuing you. He had a friend to invite you to church, or something happened, and you're here for a reason, and it's because God's pursuing you. And He's using people around you to draw you close, which is my number two character, that God's character is to reveal His glory to the world through you. He's going to use you to bring glory to His name. That's His character. And if you think about it, that in itself is a miracle, because we're not worthy to be used by God. We're not deserving for God's glory to be used His glory for the people to see His glory. But you all are witnesses of it. Somebody shine the light in your path. And now it's His character to get you to a point where you're revealing God's glory in your life. And that's what you're on a journey, to be perfected, to show God's glory. And then number three, God's character is to bring out greatness in you. And we studied two terms. And if any of these, you know, write these down or pray about these things. I don't want you just to come to church and be hearers. Go outside and be doers. Amen? You write a thought down that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and you pray about that thought. You pray and you ask God to reveal that to you. That's how you grow. That's how you become intentional. An intentional Christian is one who intentionally is trying to grow, is trying to do better. So write something down every time you come to church. Sometimes during worship, you just feel God speaking to your heart. Write it down. Take time. Now with cell phones, you can type anything anytime, right? And I encourage you to write something down. And His character is to bring out greatness in you through humility and a servant heart. Now in Scripture, they ask Jesus over and over, how do you become great in your kingdom? And the mother says, how do I make sure my son sits at your right hand in heaven and all of this? And he answered in two ways. And it was, you got to be humble and you have to serve. And we may take those two words, and for every one of us, it actually is a little different. It's not all the same. We're all different people. God's created our personalities special and different. But we have to pray about this. Lord, teach me humility. Teach me a servant heart. Because Jesus was clear. In order to understand greatness in the kingdom of God, you have to do these two things. So that means it's important that we intentionally go pray about these two things in our lives. The Bible talks about humility. It talks about a servant heart. But there's no better way to learn than to learn it yourself. Amen? I mean, you can hear preaching all day long. But until you go home and begin to encounter God, then you have a power that the world doesn't have. So this morning, the fourth one was God's character is to give you His best. Give you His best. Have no doubt, even in the valley, His character is to give you His best and His best. And the example we used in Scripture about that was the prodigal son. When the prodigal son left and decided to do it his way, there was a point that he came back. And he said, I don't deserve anything. I'm just going to come back and be a servant for my father. And the father said, oh no, you were lost and now you're found. We're bringing out the best. And they had a big fajita cook-off, as you know. Or actually they used another word. The fatted calf. But it really was a fajita cook-out, just so you know. And that's God. That's His character, to give you His best. And then number six, I put this at the end because we should never make excuses for sin. Amen? God hates sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin and God don't mix. And God, in His character, He hates sin. And there's consequences to sin. So in our lives, whenever we have sin in our lives, it is important that we don't try to solve it all in our own power, but that we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His Spirit so that He empowers us. It doesn't work any other way. Man cannot overcome the enemy sin on their own. It's only through the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we overcome. And that's His character. And on Easter Sunday, I think I forgot one there. On Easter Sunday, it was God's character is to transform death to life. And that's represented in Jesus Himself. He died and He rose again. And it's all of our stories, if you think about it. We were all dead and found God and we're alive. There's life in us. So that's who God is. Now, I wanted to go through this series for this simple reason. We need to know who God is because when we go through life, God's not there to hurt us. God's not there to pound us over the head with a hammer. God is love. And He loves us. And it's important that we know who He is. He wants the best for you. He wants you to be great for His kingdom. He wants you to be pursued and to find Him and all these good things in life. So I want to take a little twist to this in conclusion. And let's begin this morning by studying what happens when we don't know God's character. When we don't know God's character, I'll give you the answer before the test. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. When you don't know God's character, and by the way, these six that I came up with are not even close to all of God's characteristics, by the way. There's so many. God is a good God. He's a provider, Jehovah Jireh. There's a whole list of things that God is. But we're just focusing on these, and let's answer this question. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Let's begin by studying what happens when we don't know God's character. You know what happens when you don't know God's character and you go through life? We murmur and we complain. Amen? When you don't know what God's up to, greatness, goodness, when you don't know that that's God's intention, so when you see Christians and all they do is murmur and complain, I would suffice to say that they need to get to know God and who He is. Amen? And here's the perfect story to illustrate a people who saw God, understood the concept of God, but didn't know God and His character. Because if they would have, they would not be murmuring and complaining all the time. And here it is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. Now, remember, this is after the Red Sea crossing. That's a pretty miraculous event. They witnessed it. And this is after manna, when they were hungry, started coming out of nowhere to feed them. Miracles. They saw them. And after that, this is, you know, you would think after a certain point, it's like, okay, God, what's next? But no, this is their hearts. They said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. They're in the desert, so water is important. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? In other words, don't you just trust God? Why are you giving me trouble? And then verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, you brought us up out of Egypt. We crossed the Red Sea. And then you brought us out this way out in the desert to kill us here with our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried out unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Moses, who can stone Moses? Came down out of the mountain with a glow of God's glory. But you see, these people did not know God. Because if they knew God, they wouldn't be coming to Moses and saying, we're blaming him and getting ready to stone him. They would be coming to Moses and say, we believe that God's going to provide for us again. Because if they knew God, first they would know that God was pursuing them as a people. And they were a chosen people. If they knew God, they would know that God was going to reveal His glory through the people, through the children of Israel, because that was the promises given to Abraham. They would know that God's plan and His character was to bring out greatness in the children of Israel. They're a chosen people. And they would know that God had nothing but the best plan for them. The promised land flowing with milk and honey was prophesied to them. And they knew, if they knew God, they would know that. And they wouldn't be murmuring and complaining about the water. They would be excited about the fact that they just crossed the Red Sea, that they have manna to eat, and I don't know how, but God's not going to let us die now. He's going to give us water. They would know God. They would know that He's good. And they would know that God always turns life out of what seems dead. He makes it happen. And they would know that God hated sin. And they didn't know most of these things that you know today. They didn't know. Because if they knew, they wouldn't be threatening to stone Moses. When we understand God's character, we won't murmur and complain like the children of Israel. We will trust. We will have faith. And we will believe that our God is our defense. Amen? We will believe that our God is our refuge. We will believe no matter what that God is our good, good Father. And that is who God is. And so we want to get to know God. Knowing God's character, not just His concept. Not just the concept of, yes, I believe in a God and I don't want to go to hell. No, but know who God is. He's purposely pursuing you for greatness to bring others into the kingdom. When Jesus left, that's what He said, go. Tell the people the good news. He believes in pursuing us, perfecting us, giving us His best. Knowing God's character helps us through our journey in Christ. So we don't want to be Christians that are going through life's journey and ups and downs, and we murmur and complain. I believe that God is developing a people that can see beyond circumstances. You can see beyond what you see with your eyes, and you can see that God is good. And it doesn't matter that things aren't working out the way you prayed for them. God is a good God, and He will bring glory to His name through you. He will. Just believe. Just believe. And every one of us, we're sinners. Saved by grace, we're sinners. Amen. All we can do is come to God and tell us to empower us to overcome sin in the world. Because we're powerless without God. Amen. We are. You know, so when you hear people say, well, I'm a good person. You know what the Bible says about good people? Their goodness is as filthy rags. It's what the Bible says. There's only one righteous. His name is Jesus. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Amen. That He is Lord. It's the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God's character is to help us understand these things this morning. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you don't have these underlined, I would advise you. There's just one scripture, 8:28. When you know who God is and His character, you know He's not out to hurt you. You know He wants the best for you. You know that even the trials are to develop a character. To develop you as strong, stable Christians. And this is the truth in Romans 8:28. We know that all things, not some things, not the good things, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes. Never again, if you underline the scripture, you memorize this scripture, never again doubt that whatever you're going through works together for good for in Christ Jesus. Easier said than done, amen? Because you see, sometimes things happen in our lives, and sometimes it's because of our own sins. There's consequences to sin, amen? You don't get to sit and say, oh, God, forgive me. Okay, it's gone forever. there's consequences. Of course, he forgives you, and there's no consequences to eternal death. But in life, for example, if you break the law, there's consequences to breaking the law. Amen? And God says, obey the laws of the land. And sometimes, see, those consequences, even those consequences are to perfect you. Ask a parent who has to ground a child. Why do you do that? To teach them good. To teach them right and wrong. You see, all things work together to perfect you for your good. All things. Don't ever doubt that. Underline that. Memorize that. We know that all things work together for good. And so when you're going through that time when you just need God to give you peace and you don't understand, just remember, all is well. All is well. Psalms 37, verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. You can underline this one too if you don't have it underlined. Don't ever doubt that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Your steps are ordered by God. Amen? This is faith. This is believing no matter what. You know, we would have charted our lives differently. But God knows best. And that's why it's important not to let your own understanding be number one, be the driver of your life. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. And the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Amen? So always understand that your steps are ordered by God. You see, knowing God, knowing that He's good, knowing that He's looking out for the best in you, even when there's consequences to our actions, He's still looking out for the best for us so that we can get it right. Because when you get it right, when you surrender all, when you begin to live your life saying, Lord, you direct it. You really release it. Really let it go. You start seeing signs and wonders. Amen? And some of you are starting to see that. Oralia gave a testimony. She's witnessed it with her own eyes, and nothing could convince her that God didn't intervene. She told me the doctor said it was 99% sure that it was cancer. That's what the doctors thought. Because they see a certain form and they think, oh, that's not the good kind that we like to see. So they already know ahead of time what they're used to seeing. But it's never over till God says it's over. Amen? Amen. Psalms 136, verse 1. 136. There's a lot of chapters in Psalms. 136. When you know God, you know this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. When you know God, you know that He's good. Amen. He's good. He's so good. And two more scriptures. If you turn to Nahum, which is a hard one to find, but it's somewhere after in the Old Testament, before Zechariah and Malachi, but after Daniel. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. There are certain people that, and I always give the testimony of my Sunday school teacher when I was in junior high and high school. My Sunday school teacher would come and Always have a smile on her face. Always be full of joy. That's the best way I could describe it. She always had joy. She always come in and would teach us the word, and she would give us Bibles that we could understand, and she would teach us about the kings and how some of them were good kings. And I can still remember the chart that she wrote, good kings versus bad kings, and the whole history of the Old Testament. And I remember her always just being full of joy and peace. And then when she passed away, I found out more about her life, and I was just surprised. On the one hand, I couldn't understand it. She was always a woman of joy and peace, a strong woman of God. But yet when I looked at her husband and her situation, and there was a lot of trials she was going through. A lot of hard things that she was going through. But never did she bring that into Sunday school. It was always pointing us to how good God is. I look back now, as I see her life, I see what Jesus meant by casting our cares on Him and letting Him take it. I understand a little better what it means by that Jesus says, lay it on my shoulders. I'll take the yoke. I'll take it. And I could see it in her life. And that should be all of our goals as Christians, to mature, to grow to the point, not to ignore the things in our lives that need to be dealt with, but to be at peace that somehow, some way, this God's character that we've been talking about is true, and He's going to work it out. Amen. Faith. Then we can rise above our circumstances and present Jesus to the world in His glory, no matter what we're going through. You see, there's power in God, in living for God. The power to love your enemy. You cannot love your enemy in your own strength. You need power. But that's what Jesus said to do. And so I used that illustration with my Sunday school teacher to bring out this point in closing. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. Several things in this verse. Number one, He's good. I think we've established God is good God. Amen. And in the day of trouble, He knows those who really trust Him. You know, you have the 911 Christians, where the only time they pray is when they need a 911 call. Oh, Lord, help me. 911. God knows our hearts, and He's merciful, and He's patient, but He knows us. So I look at that story about my Sunday school teacher, I look back at that, and it encourages me to rise above circumstances, to be what God wants us to all be. If you'll turn last scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to close with this. 2 Corinthians. I like it when there was a pastor I heard that says, if you don't know where 2 Corinthians is, it's after 1 Corinthians. I don't know how that helps, but I guess if you happen to run into 1 Corinthians, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. Do you recognize this morning that you have found a treasure in Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. You have found this treasure that is an earthen vessel. Here we are, unworthy, carnal, sinful nature, and we have found a treasure. That the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. You see, the reason we have found this treasure is not so we could tell everybody how awesome we are. The reason we have found this treasure is so that we can tell everybody that this is of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Amen. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we are not destroyed. You see, Paul was writing this, and what he was saying here was all real. He's in prison. He's going to be executed. He wasn't just speaking words. He says, I may be persecuted, but God's with me. I'm not forsaken. I may be cast down, but I'm never going to be destroyed because eternal life is our reward. You see, when you know God's character, you don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. Well, maybe God's going to punish me. No, there's consequences to sin. Yes, of course. But He still loves you. That's what the cross was all about. The cross is a big deal for Christians. Because God loves you. And never doubt again that God's character is to always pursue you. Never doubt again that God's character is to reveal His glory through you. Never doubt again that God's character is to bring greatness in you through humility and a servant heart. Never doubt again that God's character is not to give you His best. Never doubt again that God's going to turn what seems dead alive. And never doubt again that God hates sin. And when we hurt God, it should hurt us. Continue to get to know God. Read your Bibles and pray every day. You are important to Him. You are important to Him, and you are here this morning because you love God. Or you wouldn't be here. God knows you. He created you. He loves you. And you're here this morning because you love Him and you want to be fed spiritual meat. It's time for Christians to go outside these walls and live a Christian life that makes it obvious to the world that you know who God is. He knows you and you know Him. Maybe you're the rock that the family needs. That people will see Jesus in you and they'll come to know Him. You are the light of the world in the world of darkness. You are the instrument He will use to reveal His glory. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. You are the laborers ready for the harvest. We are part of the kingdom of God. My heart this morning is that every week you are getting stronger and stronger in your faith. Not because I have figured it out, because I will continue to point you to the one who is righteous, who is the perfect Lamb. His name is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we want to know You, Lord. We want to know You, Your character, who You are, so that when we go through life, We will never doubt what your response will be. And your response will be to intervene for us. Because you love us. And you care for us. Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us that the Christian life is a daily walk. Not just a Sunday morning appearance, but a daily walk in our homes, talking to you. Teach us to know you, God. In a count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand, and by standing, you're agreeing with this. I am determined to know God. I am determined that no matter what I go through, I will trust my God. I am determined to grow. I am determined to know God's character so that I am prepared for the enemy's attacks. I am determined to know who God is by praying, by reading, by seeking more of Him. That's what the Christian world needs more than anything else, is people who are hungry to keep Jesus close and to know God more. In the count of three, we'll just stand together and we are agreeing with that. Lord, I want to leave this place today committed, determined to know you more. You're a good God. One, two, three. Let's stand and agree. More, Lord. We want to know you, Lord Jesus. Lead us, Michelle.